knows the trouble you feel. Nobody cares, the feeling is real. Johnny, we're sorry, won't you come on home? We're worried, won't you come on? What is wrong in my life? I must get drunk every night. Johnny.
And good morning, welcome to the FTS Bet Slip, Friday 4th of June. Little bit of Fine Young Cannibals and Johnny Come Home there. We're getting the singing back. I have to say, I have listened to that back. That's fucking terrible. That is dreadful. But Johnny, and today is going to be a little bit of a surreal podcast. I'm not going to lie. Probably going to think that I'm slightly insane. There's going to be bits of it where the content is, you had to be there. We got a new band, Johnny Stifflegs and the Numpties, which I'm going to tell you about in a minute. That's where the Johnny came from for that, see. this time of year, in a normal year, obviously couldn't do it last year because we didn't really have a break, but this time of year, pretty much as soon as the season finishes, I set about two or three projects. One is if I want to make any changes for anything, I get on that. Two is obviously a bit of downtime. And three, I like to, and I've done this for the last few years, meet up with people within FTS. Often, you know, people I know. 2019, I hired a pub out in London and invited, you know, pretty much open house, and chat to people. But I've always had sort of little individual 4 or 5 whatever people that I'll sit and get together with, and people who've been members of FTS looking to move on. It's just not a paid thing, just a free sort of meet up and have a few beers usually, and a catch up and talk about next season. And as I say, invariably I'm looking at people who are serious about progressing. They get to have a good few hours chatting away to me. And we talk about all things gambling. We talk about all things, you know, usually some of these times it falls into a state of disrepair. And I like to meet people face to face, because you just get to find out so much more about them than you do via Zoom emails and things like that. So with that in mind, I set up such a day yesterday. With a couple of old faithfuls and a brand new face. And I did end up spending the day with Johnny Stifflegs and the Numpties and FTS own Kim and Kanye. And some people know who I'm talking about there. I told you this pod's going to be surreal, didn't I? You're already thinking, what the fuck is he talking about? Johnny Stifflegs, a.k.a. Gary Smith, as I say, regulars, and the Numpties, a.k.a. Paul Suggsy Surridge and Kevin Clueless Kelly, and then FTS's own Kim Kardashian Kerry, who spent the afternoon drinking drinks that contained more branches and fruit than you see in Woods and a Sainsbury's fruit aisle. It was like watching someone drink some sort of woodland trifle, fruit trifle, all afternoon, pulling fucking branches out and all sorts, as she sort of went through different stages of these drinks. And her hubby, Kanye, a.k.a. Scott, who I've been in the company a couple of times. He insists on drinking Britain's worst beer, Beavertown Neck Oil. It's horrific. Ironically, it's the Spurs brewery. They've got a brewery in the ground at Spurs, and they produce this shit. I took one sip once. We went to Spurs with Suggsy, and they'd sold out of everything else, typical Spurs, and that was all they had. And I literally took one sip and said, I can't drink that. But old Scott ploughs on. And he moved on to something else called Gamma Ray. And it obviously had some devastating effect on him, because he started declaring that real tennis is the best game in the world. And that's what he is. He is a real tennis professional. Not tennis, real tennis. Look it up. And that tea and coffee are the drinks of the devil. So it all turned a little bit surreal, but poor old Numpty number one, Johnny Stifflegs and the Numpties, Numpty number one Suggs, he had an absolute trauma of a day. This is good, see, because we haven't been able to tell stories, because I haven't been able to do anything, have we? But now you can do things, you get stories. We've been there before, beautiful pub in North London. It's got a really nice beer garden, walled, you know, trees and bushes around it. It's really pleasant, right little sand trap. I don't know what it was in there yesterday, 25, 26, 27, 28. Poor old Suggs, he sat there sweating his cobblers off in his jeans. All of us in our shorts chillaxing. And he sat there in his thick jeans, having been on the tube, sweating his cobblers off. And it was a very enjoyable afternoon. The guys discussing their horse race trading. I think all four of them do the, or three of them. Scott works, Gary's out working, but Suggsy, Kim, and Clueless, they do the pre-race trading. Steve's course, so they were discussing that. Gary Smith just suddenly announced, "I'm Johnny Stifflegs." I mean, at the top of his voice, I can't even remember what it was. A good thing with things like this is, because everybody's had a few beers, I get the creative license on my own the following day, but I can't even remember what it was about. But "I'm Johnny Stifflegs," and hence Johnny Stifflegs and the two numpties were born. They now are available to perform at weddings, birthdays, bar mitzvahs. Yeah, so poor old Suggsy, number one, he's had the old jeans. And then, so we've stayed in this bar, had a few beers, talked all things gambling. And I said I'd take him out for dinner, so we went for dinner in the evening. I recommend it, actually. I've been there once before, a while ago, but it's Ramsay's Head and Street Kitchen. Very relaxed place. You can get in with shorts. Don't need jeans, you can get in there with shorts. We all ordered all bar no tea and coffee boy, who self-declared himself not a fan of beef and steak in particular, then ordered a beef burger. I'm going to get him on the pod soon. I think he'll be a cracking guest. I like people whose thought processes are different from every other human being on the planet. Anyway, we all ordered the ribeye, and I was sat next to Suggsy on my left. I had Kevin directly opposite me, and I didn't hear... Kevin places order, but those of you who like your food, you're gonna understand if you're ordering ribeye. You know, this is where you can't take the West Ham out the boy, and the old jellied eels come into play, and all that old, you know, that West Ham lack of class. I mean, he was pissed because he was declaring that Declan Rice was world class, which you need some fucking help if you think that. Another one who's going to turn into a Harry Winks fucking cast off, you wait and see. So he was spouting that, but I didn't hear him order his food. But he apparently has ordered ribeye. You're going to all cringe, you're going to dive under the tables. Ribeye, well done, declaring his lack of dislike for blood and preference for leather, sole shoe, steak. So the food's come out, he's chomping away there. And I'm talking away and eating mine. And Suggsy is fucking running up a sweat, rowing away. He's rowing away with his life. He was like fucking Steve Redgrave in a boat, he was, with his knife, trying to chop what could only be described as a sort of worn-out Suzy Quattro leather jacket. And he turned to me, he said, what did you order? I said, I got the ribeye. He said, how you have it? I said, medium to rare, favouring rare. I said, it's lovely. He said, this ain't what I ordered. By which time, Numpty 2 opposite me, so Numpty 1 Suggsy, Numpty 2 Clueless, has his nice 50% way through a steak that looks nice and pink in the middle. Chomping away. No, you know, the blood, I like mine well done. He's just chomping away at this beautiful pink steak. Yeah, Numpty 2 is eating Numpty 1's steak, and Numpty 1 is rowing away like Steve Redgrave. And what is great, Numpty 2 went, oh, I must be eating yours then. I'll just have a couple of more bits and then we can swap over. Poor old Suggsy. Poor old Suggsy. He had an absolute fucking disaster of a day. But yeah, no, it was lovely. Numerous topics were discussed. As I say, we covered many things. Hopefully the guys enjoyed it, got something out of it. Kim was surprised that I'm a little soft emotional being, which I can be. And I think it's with everything. Like they sort of said, oh, we don't like asking you questions. I think I come across on this perhaps, and where people might get a misunderstanding. Yes, I'm famous for my rants. Kim said she likes my podcast where I rant. People like it when I lose my shit. I revved up a couple of things yesterday. I can't remember what they were. Old Johnny Stifflegs wound me up about some... Oh, he's talking bollocks, talking about Rangers fans wrecking it when he's a fucking Liverpool fan. See the mess they left at the fucking Liver building. Honestly, these people. Yeah, Kim was surprised that I have that's it. And I said, you can ask me anything. And they said, oh, we don't like bothering. There's a big difference between people asking questions that are relevant to what they want to do and to further themselves. And you know, I've talked about values. It's something I'm going to cover next week in the summer school. You know, I've tried, and I'm confident in that, I've tried every year to try and help people. And it was one of my main goals when I said it. Now I'm another 13, 14 years on, it's become quite a prominent goal of mine. Ways I've tried in the past, I accept I've made a mess of. You know, I've tried to apply a one approach fits all, which is wrong. So I've sort of thought about stuff like that. But there's a big difference between people asking for help in the right way and people being bellends. And for example, we'll start this summer school on Monday. There's about 200 people. We won't get to the end with 200 people. There'll be people in there already who have no intention of finishing it. There'll be people in there who are curious. There'll be people in there to pick it apart. And all I can do is do what I can do. But if people show a genuine interest in how I operate and wanting to better themselves, I can certainly help them, and they're free to ask questions. And it is all about doing it in the right way. So we sort of got talking, and the view, I guess, was, and it wasn't said, so I'm not, you know, I'm paraphrasing, that perhaps I'm a little bit I'm a normal human being. I've got a great ability, and it is an ability, to compartmentalise. And I sort of said to Kim yesterday that, you know, when you don't speak to your own father for 25 plus years and you're able literally just to walk out the door and cut that off, I have got a cold streak in me, and I think that cold streak served me well when I'm trading. I have, you know, as brutal as it may sound, I have got a kill all sort of attitude to that, because obviously I want to do what's best for my family. But that doesn't mean that I can't turn that off and then be... show empathy and compassion, and there's little, you know, I can be as emotional as anyone. Marley and me, that gets me going. I get emotional at things that other people may not. There's a documentary on I don't know whether I've talked about it on Netflix, called The My Octopus Teacher. I got emotional at that. I got a bit emotional at Mickelson winning the PGA. I found it, you know, he was creating history 50 years. You know, if you play golf, you realise how difficult that is. But when I need to be cold, I can just be cold, but don't ever think I'm like that as a person, because I'm, you know, those who know me not, I will always speak my mind. Oh, the day started. I forgot the day started with a ruck. Let's do that bit. So we'd arranged to meet up in London at 2. I get the Kent High Speed 1. If there's any High Speed 2 people here, you need to pay attention to this. So I get the Kent High Speed 1. I can't help myself. I promise you, you know, I just can't help myself. Sam dropped me to the station. I said, I need to get the 102. Gets high speed straight into London, and get the tube one stop to wherever we were going. And I got there, and the train was cancelled. It's just on the board, 102 cancelled, and a thing underneath it saying disruption to services. So I thought, I'm just going to go and ask, what's the disruption? Because I thought, well, if the next train's going to be in danger of being cancelled, I need to do something else, get an Uber up to town, or, you know, and I need to let people know I'm planning to meet. So I went up to the guy, bearing in mind, you know, we've had pretty shite weather, haven't we? And I went up to the guy and I said, what's the disruption, and what's the, you know, what's the game with it, really? And he went, gospel truth, this was his answer. He's gone, isn't it obvious? It's the heat, mate. That's what he said. And that was that. And I stood there, and I try not to, genuinely. I had about 5 seconds of thinking time, I guess. And then I just went into one, and I promptly reminded him that there's fucking variations in the English weather, and that we can't always provide 14 degrees and damp, but why does a fucking multi-million, hundreds of millions of pounds, maybe billions, fucking train line and train stock have to fucking completely and utterly cease operation at any hint of fucking snow or weather above 20 degrees? And if that was the case, to close the fucking station down until August, September, when we can fucking run it, and let the people who are building HS2 fucking know, as I'm sure they'll be delighted that what they're building will only work in 14 to 19 fucking degrees. And then I walked off. And that was that. But then I went back again, because he was talking about me then, because by the time I'd finished my little rant at him, his mate had come over. And you do, it's not like the guy in John Lewis where that's just one bloke and only two things could happen. He's going to fuck off or hit me. These people can get the old transport police at the station, can't they, and say he's being unruly. So I thought, I've got to be careful. So I did walk off, and then we had to sit and wait like 50 minutes for the train. And I sat there and he had his mate over and they were talking about me. So I went back again and said, what are you fucking talking about me for? Do you think it's fucking reasonable that your answer is, it's a heat, mate, isn't it obvious? Because it fucking clearly isn't obvious that a train shouldn't, can't fucking operate when it's 24, 25 degrees. So, he got the C word under my breath. I thought if I call him the C word loud, then I am going to get the old bill on. So I just, just the customer service in this country, like even the first few drinks we had, the girl just dumped them on the table. Like everything was an app order, just comes and dumps them on the table, and we were ordering six drinks, just turned up with four. I went with the guys when we were away at that golf last week. I had a ruck there because just get everything wrong. Just such a absolute couldn't give a shit about the customers anymore. It's horrific. Anyway, where was I going with that? It was a thoroughly enjoyable day. And I will... Yeah, I'm an emotional guy. Very emotional. Anyway, enough of all that. It was an enjoyable day. Hope you guys who came did enjoy it. Learned a few things. And when we do open up properly, I will, as in 2019, I have said this, I sort of hinted at it last year, and we never opened up enough. But if we do open up enough, I will do the same as I did in 2019, hire a pub and... broadcast it, and people can turn up, we'll have a bigger crowd, and we can discuss punting, chew the fat on numerous topics. That is, of course, if we ever get there. I have to say, I haven't read much about things recently. I've just been busy. I've had stuff on. I'm gonna cover a few other things in a minute. But you know, we've been in this what now 14 15 16 months now, and we know viruses mutate, they always will. I'm pretty certain that over the next, 3 to 5 years, we can't be zero COVID. Whether we ever will be, I don't know, but certainly in the short term, we're not. So if we've vaccinated the most vulnerable, and we've vaccinated at least 50% of the population, and we're still talking about not being able to open up fully, vaccines aren't the answer. What is going to be the answer? Where do you see a situation? Because I just see in August, September, the weather starting to cool down, getting to the end of that. Nobody's said how long these vaccines last. I can see that we get there and they announce that September, everybody now needs a further vaccination, further booster. And the whole thing starts again and we never get out of this. We were sort of told vaccines were the answer. And if they're not at this stage, and it's not about, they might be, I just want some clarity as to what is the long term out of this mess. It's almost certain that stuff's being leaked that the 21st of June is not going to be as people saw the 21st of June. And it's been a consistent pattern of this government to sort of leak stuff to almost prepare you. So the press getting it first and building it up. And then it's there, you know, nothing seems to be kept in-house and we'll stand and make an announcement on the 21st. It's almost certain from what little I have read or seen in, you know, on BBC News or news apps or whatever, that the 21st is not going to be as we planned. We don't know what it's like, you know, and then you see yesterday Port, you know, reading the phone on my way home, Portugal was green, now it's back to amber. We thought islands were going to be green, you know, looking at Sam's situation, which I'll get to, we thought Malta may go green, but it's not. Nothing else has been. The only country that's accepting the UK, I think, that's green is Iceland. If we blew it all up at the Watford Gap and float off, all you lot northerners up there, you'd float up to Iceland, you could just become one of them, you'd be green. But yeah, no, joking aside, what is the way out of this mess? And whatever your views, this government's a fucking shambles, genuinely. And I told you all along, and I know there's people who defend it, and you carry on, but they're an absolute fucking disgrace shambles, all of them. If we lived in any form of Labour, I'd fuck all about them, and we could have got a smaller majority. Some of these people would have been sacked. But yeah, it's just weird. And on that note, somebody's put it in the Telegram group, and I fully agree with this. I don't want to get this all political, but as of July the 1st, basically the government can sell your GP medical data. It's not an opt-in; it's an opt-out. And it's sort of like all these things hidden away. The deadline to get your form to your GP is the 23rd of June, so you can contact your GP and ask for a type 1 medical form, which basically then you fill that in and sign it, and you refuse consent for your information to be shared for any other purpose other than your medical care. It is a thing that I think you should do. And if you then want to stop non-GP data, you need to go to NHS Digital Online National Data Opt-Out Process and do that. And if you've got kids under 13, you need to fill in a form for them and post it to NHS Digital, and that'll work for both you and your kids. But that is something to look at. So it ask for a type 1 form from your GP if you don't want them flogging off your fucking medical data for whatever fucking profit they can make from it. Wankers. Right, what else have we got? Let's get into some normal stuff. Johnny Stifflegs and the Numpties performing now. Enjoyed yesterday. Did enjoy it. It was good fun. Really, really. I love talking to people about gambling. I could do it all day long. I find it fascinating. And I will get it's Scott, his name. I will get Kanye on. I think me and him could produce a fascinating podcast. I'm going to be doing some guest podcasts over the next few weeks. And Scotty boy, he did agree last night. But whether that was the neck oil talking, I don't know. But we'll get him on. I got bollocking in the week because I didn't mention it's Epsom this week. Epsom wasn't on our list of festivals. It is the Oaks today and the Derby tomorrow. I've had a quick look this morning. The Derby at the minute, and I'll confirm this tomorrow. I mean, it's pissing down where I am. See what the weather's like. But I quite like the Tories Mount John Leaper. Bolshoi Ballet, obviously, the one to meet. One to beat. I like a couple behind it. I'm not massively keen on Crowley's Mount at the minute, but I do like John Leaper, Max Swiney. Just looking for something a bit bigger price. And today in the Oaks, we've got Santa Barbara. So Bolshoi Ballet's favourite tomorrow. Santa Barbara's favourite today. Both more ridden. But I do like Zayardi. I like Crowley's Mount today. Zayada, the second favourite currently, sort of 9-2 in most places. A bit of fives around, a couple of fours, but generally available at bookies 9-2. I do think that's got a bit of each way value. I'll be very, very surprised if that's out the first three, but at your own peril, of course. So that's that. Right, summer school. I did record the intro yesterday. I'm just going to cover that briefly because we are getting close to that. Most of the stuff I've covered in the intro, I'm going to re-record it and tidy it up a bit. A couple of times I swore when perhaps I shouldn't have done. But yes, basically there'll be a video intro out Monday. A few people sort of saying, what can they expect? Asked bluntly yesterday, will I win money? Yes, I mean, the ultimate goal with all this is to win money. That is the ultimate goal, but it's more about how we get to that stage of doing that consistently. And all I can do is share my views, my thoughts. As I say, there'll be people in there ready to pick it apart, whatever, and I'll deal with that as we go through it. But just talking about, I do genuinely, whether people believe it or not, I love talking about gambling, because we are all different, and that's the biggest thing I've learned certainly over the last 2-3 years. And even this podcast has got me in touch with other people and developed relationships and things. So when I was recording that yesterday, I genuinely got quite excited for you. I thought, I know I'm doing it, and it might sound big-headed, maybe. It might sound arrogant, but I think it's going to be really good for people. I think there's just bits of it that I'm doing and things I'm covering, and it is very much a self sort of program. You know, I'm not going to be like a school teacher. You know, everything you do, you know, I'm going to talk a lot. There'll be videos, there'll be processes that we put in place, but in effect, you're going to mark yourself. And it's, you know, we always had a saying at golf that if you cheat, you're only cheating yourself. Unless you're Suggsy with his Scrabble bag of handicaps pulling out today, Matthew, I'll be off 24. But, you know, a lot of this game is, I said, one of the things just to wind joy days like yesterday is this game ultimately is a very lonely game. And people find communication through different ways. A lot of people like chat rooms. It's not for me. A lot of gamblers talk about gambling on Twitter. You actually see I talk next to nothing about gambling on Twitter, because I can't abide it. I just abhor getting involved with them. And that might sound nasty, but it's just a fact. I don't think they offer anything, personally, for me. So, and again, we're all different. But I just think it's going to be really good. I'm saying it, I'm doing it myself. I just think it's going to be brilliant. And there'll be people who see it through and do benefit. And there'll be people who mock it. There'll be people who fuck off after a week. But as I was doing it yesterday, I genuinely got excited. I put it on Twitter, really excited. I did that video, I was really excited. I was excited because I was going out. I was looking forward to it. Obviously, we've not been going out, so I was looking forward to that and a nice meal. Spurs might be getting Conte. So yeah, the interview, the intro for that will be coming out Monday, and we'll be off and running, and that's it. There won't, you know, once I've done it Monday, there won't be anybody else coming on board, and we'll take that journey with, you know, we start with 200, we end up with 2. That's the way it goes. But yeah, Spurs could be. I mean, I it was yesterday, and I have said this. I've said it, and OT's linked to it this morning, Online Trader on Twitter, that the deadline for Spurs season tickets was yesterday. I've got to hold my hands up. I have renewed. I'm already self-loathing myself. But the joy is they do have a ticket exchange that I can just get money game by game. But I would be very excited to go to Spurs if Conte's there. I do think he's a fantastic manager. I'm not just saying it. I said it when he was at Chelsea. I could never understand why Chelsea got rid of him. The guy's won 5 titles in 7 years. People are saying he's playing boring football. You're talking garbage. Look at the goals that Inter Milan scored. Look at the numbers. I love the way he's up and down the touchline. As I said the other day, I said I could just see when Ndombele loses the ball and he's jogging back, him running on and nutted in one. I love his passion for it. And I think it will be an exciting time for Tottenham. And obviously, if we've been through, you know, if you're asking me, is it Pochettino or Conte? People picking Pochettino, absolutely, they're mental. Mental. You are talking, you know, I said it when Mourinho was appointed, the one thing you want is a winner, and the boy is an ultimate winner. But of course, I could map out, and you know, I said it's going to get a bit surreal and insane. I could map out the next 10 years for Spurs. If Conte comes, it will be exciting. It will be really exciting. It will be, you know, I'm certain, almost certain he's not coming and Kane will be sold. But he's going to come in on the back of huge Levy promises. They'll fail to materialise over 12, 18 months. Obviously, Poch has been in the running, but issues getting him out of PSG. So Conte's going to come in 12, 18 months. These big promises fail to materialise. Conte fell out at Chelsea, whatever reason, went. Same at Inter. He'll definitely fall out with Levy. That's 100%. So we'll have a bit of excitement, but then he'll be gone. But by that time, then Poch will be free from his PSG contract. He'll have led PSG to no titles, and his time's up. to placate fans after, you know, we've managed to wreck Mourinho and Conte's reputation in two, three years. We'll suffer four more fraudulent years of Pochettino trying to do this project like last time at one fuck all. And then in that period of 4 years, Pep Guardiola will have won another couple of Champions League. He'll be now washed up, smoking his stogies, singing Oasis songs on the touchline, like when there's a free kick, he'll blur, "You're my wonderwall," and whoring himself for cash. Levy will then give him a five-year deal. 2 years in, Spurs are 15th. Pep gets booted. And at this time, now we're sort of 6-7 years down the line, Graham XG Potter is sucking the life out of the game in League One. Managing Leighton Orient, but Leighton Orient's XG stats are off the wall, so still trophyless. Levy, who has seen Brentford come up and win the Premier League with their Moneyball approach, decides that his approach, after what will nigh on be 30 years and no trophy, still trophyless, has been wrong, and he'll sign Potter on a 10-year contract based on Potter using stats and analysis to win the league. Danny Rose will return as left back, age 42, because he's had the most tackles in league football for Torquay United in the 2029-30 season. And one way or another, we're going to end up, Matt Stevens will be jumping up and down with Graham Potter's blue and white army. Matt Stevens will still be telling us how great a coach he is. So there you go, Graham Potter's blue and white army. It's just a 10-year project via Conte, Pochettino and Pep. There you go. Told you it's going to be fucking mental today, didn't I? What am I talking about? I haven't told the lads this. Obviously, they asked me how things were. Sam picked me up last night. I don't know what time train we got, about 10 o'clock, half 10. Sam picked me up in tears last night. It's all gone extremely pear-shaped in Malta. This is actually really serious business this lad's got involved in. It is mafia. It's Serbians. They knocked on Jodie's door last night. Jodie's moved into her own place a while back. But she's got one of those hall, you know, like a lot of those apartment blocks where the light comes on. And they basically walked up to the door. The light comes on automatically, but after 10 seconds it goes off, so it went dark. They then knocked on the door, and she looked at the peephole and just saw these two black shadows. Sam was due to go out there, but we've now thought, well, that's not a good idea. So currently trying to get Jodie and baby back to England to move in here, which obviously her safety and everything is my absolute utmost priority. And then, of course, in doing that, because I just said, look, get a flight now. Kids being kids, having tried to last year do all the paperwork and thing for and get a couple of people here to sign and witness a passport for Ari. Jodie never sent it off, so she can't leave fucking Malta because Ari doesn't have a passport. So we're back on that train. But yeah, so Sam was extremely upset last night. So that is just going to take my focus for a couple of days. It's not going to impede anything too much, because they're actually not, you know, I can only do what I can do so much from here. But our priority is to get daughter and grandson back here and go from there. Once I feel they're back here and safe, and if the Serbian mafia knock on my door, they'll get the FTS headbutt. But yeah, fucking shambles, honestly, how these people get into these things. Looks like they've just played this guy, the father of Ari, looks like they've played him a treat, and just to extort cash out of him. Yeah, so there you go. So what was a great day turned into a bit of a disaster at the end. But as I say, I've just at the minute, you know, I spoke to Jodie for an hour this morning. This is where I'm cold, see, practical. Right, let's forget what's gone on. Let's just deal with what's ahead of us. And ultimately, all I can do is at the minute is do all we can to get a passport or a way to get her home as quickly as possible, and deal with it from there. But there you go. See, life's not always roses. So, yeah, if you do need anything over the next couple of days, if I don't get back, it's well because I'm dealing with that. But as of Monday, just, you know, I'm going to be trying to run everything as normal as possible. I want to get the ultimate stuff out probably the following week. We got Royal Ascot coming, summer school starting, so yes, but just for the next couple of days, if I don't do something or things haven't been updated or whatever, it will be done sometime over the next 48-72 hours. Certainly by Monday I'll be in full swing, because I can't just see myself going, I was going to do the Euros today, but because of that, and I was on with Jody for an hour, I haven't had a look at that properly. There's two bits I do like. I do like the French to win it, but I'll confirm that up tomorrow. I do like the French to win the Euros. I think the England price is fucking mental. And I do like, and it's not a bet I would usually have, I do think the over-under penalties number, I don't know whether it's changed, but when I looked, it was about 16.5, something like that. I'll double check it all before tomorrow, but I just thought that looked ridiculous when you look at what happened in the World Cup and having VAR and things now, in 51 games. The figure I saw looked ridiculous, but I'll go through it all tomorrow, and I'll do a proper Euro podcast tomorrow. I'll double check on the derby in the morning, and I'll try and get that out by tomorrow lunchtime. So that's it from me. I've no idea what you're all going to make of that podcast. But yes, thank you for the guys yesterday. Good fun. Have a good weekend. And I will be back with you all tomorrow lunchtime.